has set me free. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me. Dark clouds rolled away. Sunshine now on me. God has smiled on me. He's been good to me.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ. Welcome to everybody online. This morning is pretty exciting because it is the teen class who is covering for Steve Sargent, who is away on vacation today. So not only me, but I'm grateful that our teen stepped up today to get involved in service. So I hope you enjoy it. We also have cards. If everyone can work on filling those out, our heart response cards, our membership cards, and then on the other side, there's a visitor component if you'd like to fill that out, and then our encouragement cards that can be sent during the week to someone that you may be thinking about who might need a little boost during the week. For those of you online, welcome again. Please make sure to get your communion items, your juice and your bread. Later on in the service, we'll have communion. So, welcome. I'm gonna go ahead and light our fellowship candle. In the meantime, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden.
I'm going to read from God's Word, and then we're going to sing three songs. As you are able, why don't we stand for the reading and the singing to follow. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. This is the word of the Lord. Come, let us all unite to sing God His love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God His love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and to sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Tell to earth's remotest bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, His Spirit turned our night to day, and now we can rejoice to say that God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Happy is our portion here, God is love. His promise is our spirit's cheer, God is love. He is our sun and a shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength, and a stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. God is love. God is love. us all unite to sing that God is love. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. As your children gather in peace, all the angels sing in heaven. In your temple, all that I seek is to glimpse your holy presence. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the angels exalt you on high. What a kingdom to depart, but you left your throne in the sky just to live inside my heart. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to Let's be seated.
Hello, everybody. I'm here to read for Lily as well, because it appears the Waltmans are MIA. So first up, we have Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. After the second reading, we're going to have a moment of silence after the hearing. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray right quick. I was reading the Bible and I was asking myself, and God spoke to me. And he says, what we were studying on Wednesday night, Hebrews chapter 11. He says, you know, faith without works is dead. He said, he who's come to the throne of God, receive his faith. Father God, we receive your faith, Father God, for blessing, for everything, Father God, for healing, Father God, for prosperity and peace, Father God. Father God, you know, I did not know what to say, Father God, but Father God, you have brought us out, Father God, for everything we went through, Father God, and you set us up, Father God, on, you know, on solid rock, Father God. Father God, I believe and declare, Father God, that each and every one is healed in this place, Father God. And not only in this place, Father God, but around the world, Father God. Father God, pray for the kids that's going back to school, Father God. People that don't have nothing, Father God. Father God, you will grant them, Father God, what their heart desire. Father God, we pray for the teachers, Father God, that you give them godly teachers, Father God. Father God, we pray for the people, the children that's in high school, Father God, that will not have no guns, Father God, or no nothing, Father God. You know, Father God, the shooting got to stop. You know, everything got to stop, Father God, and let them turn towards you. Father God, you see, your salvation is free, Father God. Each and every one of us, Father God, receive your salvation, Father God. And you have each and every one of us in here, Father God. We know somebody that needs your salvation, Father God, and teach them, Father God, from the top, Father God, of Pastor Steve, to the bottom, Father God, of the babies, Father God, when they go to Roots class, Father God. Everyone, Father God, have the power to use your name, Father God, and turn their friends or anybody, Father God, towards you, Father God. So, Father God, as I pray, Father God, and we leave today, Father God, bless us, watch over us, take care of us, Father God, and feed us, Father God, with the word that Miss Jessica Vaughn finished and give us, Father God, and put it down deep in our spirit, Father God. So, Father God, I want to bless you. I want to bless this church. I want to bless the family, Father God, and people who are listening, Father God, on Facebook, Father God. Father God, touch them. Like the lady said, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole, Father God. So, Father God, as we leave today, but as we receive the message before we leave today, Father God, let each and every one of us, Father God, praise you and glorify you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, so behalf on Bobby Huebner, she and I talked yesterday, and I recorded her voice. So I apologize for the quality of this audio, but this is Bobby reading Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13. Kids who would like to go to Roots, Miss Brandy and Miss Ellery are going to join you in the back. All right. Thanks for everyone who said yes to helping with service today. King, thank you for your amazing organizational and planning skills. I don't know what Steve would do without you because I surely wouldn't have survived this morning. Brent, thank you for leading us in song this morning. And Dee and Larry, for your upcoming presence at the table and in prayer. We have gifted and mindful shepherds leading us. Jesse, as always, thank you for your blessing of this church today. Thank you for modeling what a fervent prayer life should look like. And Bobby, thank you so much for working with me to record yourself. I'm sure it was special for everyone to hear your voice. I asked our entire class, aside from Sergeant Number 1 and Sergeant Number 2, to participate in service this morning. So, Cora, you can decide which sergeant number you are. Steve will take the other number. And Ellery, thank you for reading, and also on behalf of Lily. And last but not least, thanks for our guys in the booth, King again, and then also Carter's back there. They're making it all work technologically, which I'm grateful for. Today, Alex and I have been married for 12 years. So Alex, happy anniversary. I'm sorry you had to stay home with two sick babies. I say we've come a very long way from me not even wanting to be in the same room with you. Guys, that's really true. You can judge if you want, but I'm convinced it was love at the very beginning, and I wasn't familiar with that feeling and decided to push it aside as far away as possible. It didn't work. Before we get down to business, I'll share one more thing so we can go to the next slide, King. Oh, the next slide as well. Sorry about that. So I shared this video or photo of me around 3 years ago during a virtual service. I'm fully garbed in layers of sweat-enhancing protective gear, providing care to my patients, thanks to good old COVID-19. I'm pretty sure this picture is obnoxiously big enough so where you can see the pleading, the fear, and the anxiety in my eyes. I ended up contracting COVID 3 times since this photo. Well, the 3 times that I had a positive test. I may have had it more times than I had realized. I passed out greeting cards to my patients, many of them written for you, like Miss Martha Clark. My mom sewed headbands to keep my own and my coworkers' ears from getting sore from wearing masks for over 12 hours straight. She also made several crocheted hats for patients with buttons on the side, right above the ears, so they can keep their heads that had lost hair warm and their ears also unencumbered from their masks. Despite all the heartache, there are many things I am thankful for during this nightmarish time. We toss around the word resilience a lot at work, but sometimes I wonder whether the prices paid were worth it, which is why I touch base with my therapist every now and then. Our team on the 12th floor and then the 20th floor became very close, During this time, my floor moved from 8 floors up. So much of the hurt that we were experiencing was shared with each other because we didn't want to bring it home. The trust and dependability that we built with each other is something that I will never, ever take for granted. It's that trust that I'm moving forward with when I made the decision to take a new direction in my nursing career. I'm 4 days into the new job as a nurse navigator for people with breast cancer, and I don't really know what to say about it yet since I'm at home doing a lot of training. I took a picture of myself a couple days ago with my associate in the background, Nora, playing with her Roblox account. It's somewhat of a sabbatical, and it's long overdue. I'm grateful for the time to refresh and for the next phase of my nursing career, one where I will hopefully be more present for our family, which has grown unexpectedly, but definitely was God's plan. We can go to the next slide. So, Matthew. When I had the message on Luke 5 last year, I found that it helped me to take a sensory approach. I imagine what the surrounding scenery must have been like, the smells, the taste of salt in the air, what Simon Peter must have been thinking and feeling. I find myself taking that approach again with Matthew, but into a look of what he was feeling and thinking. The physical scene comes in stark contrast to that of Peter's. Matthew is in the middle of a busy town, in a booth with a long line of Jews begrudgingly paying Roman taxes along a dusty road. He likely won this booth as the highest bidder among many Jews trying to make a fortune as a publican, or tax collector, in our terms. Or he may have been hired outright by the Roman army. Publicans were despised in the Jewish community because they added an additional fee to the Roman tax, which acted as additional income to the payment they received from Roman officials for managing tax collections. Publicans were seen as criminals and were outcasts from the Jewish community. Publicans only made company with publicans, as they were not welcome anywhere else. So Matthew, the outcast. In the past few weeks, I've thought of many experiences that I have had that could be equivalent to what Matthew was thinking and feeling. Speaking of our anniversary, one of those instances came about during our wedding. The day before Alex and I got married, there was an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting taking place at our church. My roommate, who was my wedding planner, bless her soul, was also here with some of her friends getting decorations in order. She crossed paths with a gentleman who had come to town for a softball tournament and had decided to attend the local AA meeting at our church. He asked, "So something else must be happening this weekend," seeing the decorations. My roommate replied, "Yeah, my friend's getting married." He responded, "Well, I may just come and celebrate too." And then he walked away. My roommate didn't have time to respond and didn't think he was serious. Well, guess what? The next day at 2 p.m., I spotted him while I was walking down the aisle, arm in arm with my dad. He was about mid-auditorium on the bride's side, twirling a softball in his hand. He stayed for the reception, and everyone simply thought he was there for the bride's side, or conversely, the groom's side. He also signed our guest book with his full address and I made sure I sent him a card to thank him for coming. A true wedding crasher. Personally, I found this to be very entertaining, much to my wedding planner's dismay and my family's outrage once they found out later. But was he really a wedding crasher? Or was he simply ecstatic that he was welcomed or invited like Matthew? Invited despite the circumstances in his own life that were being insinuated by my other wedding guests. There is a movie clip that also reminded me of what Matthew may have experienced. I have it embedded in the next slide, and here is a quick intro. In the Disney movie Soul, the main character, Joe Gardner, has a bad accident and is on the brink of death. During his period of limbo, he is assigned to a mentor to mentor a new soul who is referred to as the number 22, as in the 22nd soul that was ever created. During his mentorship, Joe and 22 visit the zone, a place where souls enter when their passions, such as playing the piano, create a state of euphoria. However, these passions can become obsessions, and as a result, there are several lost souls in the zone as well, disconnected from what is going on in their own lives. Perhaps Matthew felt like this one lost soul whose return to real life is captured in this clip.
Madness, thanks for asking.
Hey, got a request for you.
I'm trying to get back to my body. Can you help me?
That's what we do. We are the Mystics Without Borders, devoted to helping the lost souls of Earth find their way. I'm Moon Wind Star Dancer Extra Service. That's Wind Star Dreamer Moon, Dancer Star Wind Moon, and that's Dreamer Wind Dreamer Dreamer.
These weirdos are gonna help me get back?
Just wait. Let's get this lost soul back home.
Poor fella. Some people just can't let go of their own anxieties and obsessions, leaving them lost and disconnected from life, and this is the result.
Make a trade?
Looks like another hedge fund manager.
Now, to reconnect to your earthly body.
Whoa, that's me. Thank you. What am I doing with my life?
I'm alive! I'm alive! Free yourselves! It's beautiful!
Whoa, he got back just like that? So this is all I have to do to get back to my body?
Hey, Gasman! Joe, are you dead?
No, no! Well, not yet. Can you help me get back?
We've never connected an untethered soul back to its body before, but perhaps, if we travel to a thin spot, yes, all aboard! Anchors away!
So there are no hedge fund managers in the room, right? Okay. Sounds like they have some of the same issues that tax collectors had. Matthew had an awakening. He threw his self-made life away. He saw what he was missing, and Jesus' invitation had a priceless value, but worth way more than his personal fortune could ever hold. Another instance comes to mind about my college days. Alex and I were dating at the time, and as far as I can remember, hadn't had any serious discussions about marriage and family and such, if you need a timeline reference. I was in Christian student leadership throughout my college career, and there was a leadership meeting called by our minister. We sat in chairs, formed in a circle, and our minister proceeded to explain that we had a problem with cliques, which as a result was excluding certain students from certain events and other opportunities. He went one by one and explained which clique we led. And when he got to me, I remember him saying, "Now, Jessica, I know you probably think you don't have a clique, but in most cases, you would be right. However, your clique is all the people who have been excluded from the other groups. You have the fringe." I want to say that I had immense respect for this minister and friend, and still do. It is why I didn't stand from my chair and leave the circle, but looking back on it, I should have. I don't think he realized that his message was not received as intended. What I heard is that my friends, my family in Christ, was barely included. Matthew was barely included in the Jewish community. Much like I felt when I heard my family being referenced this way, Matthew must have felt a true low too. So next slide of the teens, please. Haha. For reference, we have three teachers in the teen class. King leads the class and leads very well. Steve provides calm and supportive direction when needed. My duty is to provide babies to play with and to place the teens in the spotlight, or if you want to ask them, embarrass them as much as possible. So here you go. Lily, I need an updated picture of you. I like these pictures because they're all of our teens hanging out with me or my family at some point in time. I asked our teens about any experience that they may have had about being invited or inviting someone in. Max had an impactful experience to share. He had a friend who was treated as an outcast by his own family, and to my understanding, was no longer welcome in his own home. He and Leo became his confidants, hearing him out and all the challenges that he was facing, challenges that no one, especially a child, should ever have to face. Once it came to the point where he was no longer welcome in his own home, both guys did not hesitate to welcome him into theirs, knowing in full confidence that Andrea wouldn't say no. Aren't our teens amazing? Come and drop by in our class sometime. Max and Leo made their friend, who was placed on the fringe by his own family, know that he was worthy to become part of theirs. You are worth it. You are worth being a part of us. That's one of the biggest gifts that one human being can give to another. We can go to the next slide. Coming into Matthew 9, verse 11, we now have Matthew, who has been invited like the wedding crasher, awakened like the hedge fund manager, has been pulled to the center like my friends in college really already were, but didn't appear to be, and has found worth like Max and Leo's friend. Of course, due to Matthew's history, there are going to be people who are going to challenge that. People who have deemed themselves worthy. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Says the Pharisees. Not only is there going to be no more open seats at the table, but they are also met with immediate interjection by Jesus himself. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, which is the verse that Jesus quotes from, sheds a little more light on what Jesus is talking about. Acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. The Pharisees, out of their own self-righteousness, were not going to acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. The Pharisees and other religious leaders of the day saw their calling as to quarantine themselves from possible spiritual infection. Jesus saw himself as a doctor, one who can heal spiritual illnesses. A doctor has no business in staying away from those who are sick. They have been given several opportunities through Scripture, the Pharisees, to identify and adopt what Matthew has recognized immediately, that this is God in the flesh. Jesus is not going to let Matthew's worth be taken away. Matthew is his. Jesus has come to each of us, commanded us to follow him. He has told us that we are worthy of him. We are worthy of being in his presence, despite not being invited to the world's banquets, despite losing ourselves in the toil of everyday life, despite being mislabeled as the fringe, and despite our lack of worth to others, and most of all, despite our sins. Jesus healed Matthew from the sins of his job and completely changed the meaning of his life. Let Jesus be your physician, and he can heal you too. Come as we stand and sing.
In our world of sorrow, bring your love. Guide us as we follow, teach us as we pray, give us strength to borrow, to return in praise. Light for our tomorrow, God who comes to save, Jesus, hope of heaven, for us your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save. Wrapped in human weakness, to our world you came, carrying our sickness, suffering our shame, dying for our wickedness, rising up again, victor over darkness, God who comes to save, Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save, Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save, God who comes to save. Let's be seated.
God who comes to save, God who came to save. That's what this table, to which he welcomed Matthew, to which he welcomes each and every one of us, every day, every week, we get to come and take the salvation again to remind us to receive again the salvation that Christ provided for us when he said, "Take, this is my body. Drink, this is my blood." Those of you at home have your cup and have your bread. And in a moment, I'm going to ask for a couple of volunteers to help pass the communion after we pray. Jessica, thank you. I cannot think of a more appropriate meditation for the communion than, "You're all worthy, and Christ comes to save." Father, thank you for each and every gift that you give us, for the gift of life, but especially, Lord, for the gift of salvation, forgiveness once and for all, but often renewed. Bless us as we take this cup, bless us as we take this bread, and thank you that you acknowledge us and welcome us in to your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm looking for, thank you guys. We've come to the point in our service where those of you online and those of you here have an opportunity to give. And in the same way, you can give here and put all the cards in that you have written out, or you can give online. We appreciate your gifts, and Larry and Glenn will pass after this prayer. Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to give back some of the many, many gifts that you've given us. Bless this gift. Bless our family here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It is so good to be back together again, both online and here in person, folks. We have some family matters. We have our Wednesday night prayer meeting that meets here in the church, 7 p.m. right in the lobby outside every Wednesday evening. Larry is a part of that group, and we'd be happy to see you there on Wednesday nights. We also have, next slide, please. We also have donations for Sonny Glenn this month. We have the clown barrel outside where you can bring your donations. You can see the items they're asking for now. Anything you give will be much appreciated. We also have our, next slide, classes that we have this morning. Several offerings for children and adults. We would love to see you there, and so glad to have you with us today.
On September 3rd, a little bit less than a month now, the Bethesda House of Grace will begin worshiping in the Fellowship Hall on a regular basis on Sunday morning. September 3rd is their inauguration date. In preparation for that, we offered to pray for that church during the month of August, and we asked them specifically what we should pray for. Interesting enough, their list is wisdom, love, passion, and resources for the work. I find it interesting that the first thing in that list is wisdom. It's exactly what Solomon answered when God gave him a blessing. What do you want? Wisdom. And that's the first thing they pray for. Each Sunday, we will pray for these things. Today, I'm praying for wisdom. And I encourage you through the week, as you think of the Bethesda House of Grace joining us, that be your prayer as well. Let's pray. O good and gracious God, creator of the heavens and the earth, you are our God, and we come here to make our worship evident and more powerful by joining with fellow believers. Father, we are grateful for the work that has been done in this plant for the last 60, 70 years. You've done wonderful things, and Father, we pray your blessing as we hope for the planting of this church next to us. Father, that they supply the talents that we lack in ministering to our neighborhood. And Father, may you bless them and their leaders especially with wisdom in being able to determine the things that they can do and should do to minister to this neighborhood, to your glory and to your purpose. Father, give leaders vision and the compassion that they need, not only for the people that they're ministering to, but for the workers in their church. Father, may they be blessed with many people who have a heart to serve, a heart to evangelize and to serve the people that are needy and hurting in our neighborhood. Father, I ask particular wisdom for their pastor, Salvador. And Father, may you continue to breathe your spirit mightily through him, that he can not only inspire his congregants, but Father, also be an inspiration to our neighborhood. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus, who set us on our task to serve and to preach. Amen.
Do we have another slide, King? Oh, there we go. Wanted to leave you guys with one more text before we go in peace to this week. The first thing we have to do is to notice that we've loaded down this camel with so much baggage that we'll never get through the desert alive. Something has to go. Then we can begin to dump the 1,000 things we brought along until even the camel has to go, and we're walking barefoot on the desert sand. There's no telling what will happen then, but I've heard that someone walking in this way has seen a burning bush. Go in peace.